Good morning, everybody. Now, I'm hoping I've got a couple of video clips other than that's up there. I don't know if you know about it, but it might be there. If it is there, do you know anything about it? No? Okay. All right. It's fine then. No problem at all. So I'm going to read. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So here we are. It says, starting at verse 1, it says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." Now, if there is, going down to verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Verse 20, it's a good bit. "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead," says Paul, "the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Okay. So I want to share about this, just briefly, this subject. Why is the resurrection? Because today, 3 days ago, it was the cross and Jesus dying on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. So why is Christ's resurrection important? I want to look at that subject with us just this morning. Why is the resurrection important? And my first point is that truth matters. I did have some, our Sam and Caris are with us at the moment, and Lydia and Judah and Ariella. Sam always barges in and says, "Dad, you're so boring with your PowerPoints, if you do one. Let me spice them up a bit for you." But unfortunately, the technology doesn't go with it because our equipment at the moment can't do these emojis. But anyway, this is a scene from the American Office, apparently, where he kind of says it's true. Truth matters. Now, this whole thing about Easter. People, you know, can get their head around a man called Jesus living 2,000 years ago in modern-day Israel. And, Sam's messing with the thing. Sam, you're putting me off. I'm messing with the thing. Don't mess it up. People can get their head around a man called Jesus dying on a Roman cross being crucified. Yeah? It's historically well documented. What they struggle with, what I used to struggle with, was the thought that this man could be brought back from dead to life again. Because why? Well, because that's supernatural, isn't it? There has to be some intelligent force, vastly superior power, who's able to control life and death itself. Effectively, there has to be a God There has to be a creator, and that's what people balk at. Say, well, I've not experienced God, I can't see him, so he's not there. And I don't want to know. But do you know what? The truth matters. Now, about 250 years ago, two guys, highly educated, highly able lawyers, were intensely irritated by the claims of the church that Jesus rose from the dead. And they thought, we're going to put our legal minds here to the task of discrediting this claim. Because they realized that the linchpin to the Christian faith was whether Christ rose from the dead or not. If we can disprove that, they said, we can demolish this religion like a pack of cards falling down. And so a guy called Gilbert West and Lord Lyttelton, who one-time Chancellor of the Exchequer in our country, set off. And they agreed to reconvene some months later, but they went off. And it was Gilbert West who said, I'm going to show that the resurrection of Christ cannot be sustained historically. It's just a myth and it's a load of rubbish. And Lord Lyttelton said, yeah, great, okay. Well, the other thing is, Christ was meant to appear to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus in the Damascus Road experience, and from that he was converted dramatically. I'm going to disprove it. I'm going to show it's a load of rubbish. It's just been made up. So they went away. Neither of them were anything to... In fact, they hated the church. They didn't want anything to do with Christianity. They wanted to disprove it, demolish it. Anyway, months passed and they got back together again and started discussing it. And, well, what have you found? And Gilbert West says, well, I have to... I'm sorry about this, but I don't... This is me talking here, Hugh. Something went like this. Sorry about this, but I have to tell you that my research, I have come to the conclusion that Christ really did rise from the dead. Not only was he a real person, but he actually rose from the dead. I believe that now. I can't see the evidence in any other way. And in fact, one step further, I've actually become a Christian. And he wondered what Lord Lyttelton would think of that. And he turned to him, smile on his face. By the way, you can get the book on Amazon about Lord Lyttelton, Gilbert West, their experience. Smile on his face. Oh, that's good news, because I have a similar experience to report to you. Having looked into this Damascus Rose experience, I've become convinced that this is a historical reality. It really happened. Can't explain it any other way. And I too have become a Christian. Truth matters. But what about today? Are people encountering Jesus? This is where my daughter-in-law, she's kindly agreed to help me here. So, Karis, if you're around, don't get to see her that often, because she lives a bit of a distance away. So, just wanted to ask her one or two questions about this, really. So, I suppose the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And so, Karis, I've got one or two questions here to ask you, and I'll pass you the mic. So, well, obvious question, then. Presumably, you believe that the resurrection of Christ actually happened.
Yep.
I thought that'd be quite quick. Okay. So, why? Can you tell us why?
Yeah, I can. So, about 19 years ago, I was kind of hanging out with some Christians, and I just noticed that their lives were different to mine, and lots of different reasons as to why that was. And one night, I sat in my room, and I said to God, I need to know if you're real, because if you are real, I need to do something about that. And the next morning, I was at the train station going to London to work, and suddenly I just felt this presence around me, and I knew that it was God. And I had these words kind of just going around and around in my head, and it was God saying to me, Karis, I want you to be part of my family. And it just kind of was on repeat the whole time. And this presence was just amazing, and everyone kind of fainted out of the train station. It was busy, and I just knew that it was Jesus talking to me.
Thank you so much. So you found Jesus to be alive and someone that you could encounter. So what difference has the presence of Christ in your life made?
Yep. So after that kind of experience, I went into work that morning and I went into the toilets and got on my knees and said, you know, Jesus, I want to follow you. And from that moment, I felt completely different. I don't know if other people have had that experience, but something lifted off of me, something changed, and I felt like a different person. God began to speak to me. I started to hear his voice. I started to hear kind of thoughts come into my mind that weren't my thoughts, thoughts that were encouraging, thoughts that challenged me about the way I was living my life. I started to make decisions to not do certain things that I was doing. And I started to feel hopeful about things I wasn't hopeful about. I started to make friends with people that I wouldn't usually make friends with. And I think over kind of the last 19 years, I've had, I guess, different battles and difficulties like everyone has. But in them, I've had this amazing God to turn to, who is there for me, who wants to heal me and bring life to me. And I've never been in a situation where I've not known that there is a promise at the end of it for me. And before, I didn't have that.
And you've also seen it in one or two other people's lives, them experiencing Christ.
Yeah. So when I became a Christian, some of the people that I were working with, lots of them actually noticed that something was different about me. They started to say, what's going on with you? Why are you not doing this, this and this anymore? Why are you not swearing anymore? Why are you not some other stuff as well? And God was giving me opportunities to start to share with them my faith and my testimony. I was quite out there as a new Christian. I was quite bold of the things that I said. And I think that helped. And I saw quite a few of my friends come to faith, had amazing opportunities to lay hands on them and pray for them, and see them physically experience God's Spirit and the impact of that in their life. And similar to me, beginning to have hope in situations, wanting to change the way that they were living. So, yeah, I know that God not only has impacted my life, but in living in me, is beginning to impact the life of people around me.
That's great. Thank you. Super. Thank you very much. See, you've got to get people's stories. Is this true? Is this thing true? Well, if it's true, see, and this is my second point, so you could go to the next one. By the way, you've still not got that video, is that right? Fair enough. Okay, well, anyway, never mind. Christianity is about encountering the risen Christ. And as we saw with Caris, she had a personal encounter and continues to have that in her life. That's what Christianity is all about. You see, the thing is, do you know that all other faith and philosophy leaders are dead? They're still dead. You can go to the tomb of Confucius. He's in there somewhere. You can go to the shrine of Buddha. You can go to the grave of Muhammad. But you go to the grave of Jesus, it's empty. He's a risen Saviour. And if that's the case, then you should still be able to encounter him. And that's what we're about. There are people who have encountered, are encountering the risen Christ. What about you? Have you encountered, are you encountering him? You won't see him as a physical person like on that screen. He's ascended to the Father, but he sent his Spirit. And by the Spirit of Christ, we get to know God personally in our own lives. And, you know, if you don't know him, what an Easter gift to receive the presence of Christ in your heart. Just like Caris was saying, happened with her, what's happened with me, multitudes of people across the world and people in here as well. Well, okay, so Christianity is about encountering the risen Jesus. Third thing is, this is all about, why is the resurrection important? First of all, truth matters, you know. So what's truth? Second thing, Christianity is about encountering the risen Jesus. Third thing is it demands a decision. If it's true, it demands a decision. So I need the next slide up, if that's possible. Okay. It will come up. See, if Christ is risen, Christianity and the claims of Jesus must be true, because no one rises from the dead. And that means that all Jesus said and did is all true. Okay, demands a decision. So there's Jim Carrey, and he was doing something that reinforced that. Demands a decision. The fourth thing is, if it's true, then this demands my all to this. It demands my all. Now, I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years ago, there was a big hoo-ha. Do you remember it? About undercover detectives infiltrating certain organisations. And I think they were mainly animal rights organisations. And these undercover detectives, if you like, or agents, shall we say, managed to form deep relationships with some key women who were part of these sort of organisations. Now, they were going around blowing research labs up that experimented on animals and things like that. And these women were duped into giving their all to the men with whom they thought were genuine. And, you know, their hopes and their dreams of happiness and a good future were wrapped up in their love and commitment to these men to a large part. And on a similar line, a similar thought, Paul wrote what I read out earlier. And he said, if Christ has not been risen, we're still in our sins and our faith is futile. We're to be pitied. But then he says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. There's nothing worse than believing a lie, is there? And then finding it's wrong. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And the Bible says that those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed. And your ultimate fulfillment, my ultimate fulfillment, lies in our wholehearted embracing this truth, that Christ has indeed died for our sins, and the proof of the pudding is that he rose from the grave. So what have you been putting your trust in lately? I mean, we put our trust in chairs, we sit on them, and that's all well and good, but our deep-seated trust, the things that we're relying on for success in life, what are you putting your trust in? Because I just want to say to you that this is real. Christ died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. What are you putting your reliance on for the well-being of your life? Those poor women placed their trust in undercover agents, and it was bogus. But those who put their trust in the Lord will never be disappointed. And then, fifth thing is the biggest problem that we face in life has been solved. Those guys from The Office, American version of The Office, they're going like this. They're rejoicing, right? The emojis don't work. And here's here's this passage. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So I've got two older brothers and an older sister. And you know what? They've not got a lot to look forward to. They've lived their lives. They've enjoyed their lives. But now it's getting towards the end. And they've not got very much to look forward to at all. But we are different. If we have trust in Jesus Christ, who is alive, then this life goes on forever. So the biggest problem in life has been solved. And then the sixth thing, if that's the case, then Jesus, if he solved the biggest problem that there is, that anybody can experience, we can find answers to all other dilemmas, problems, issues in life that we face. Jesus enables us to overcome. Now, I was speaking with somebody just recently, and they said to me, do you know what? The 2017 has been a horrible year. Just everything's gone wrong. And sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Things go wrong. But if our trust is in the Lord and in this risen Savior. Listen, he has solved man's greatest problem, greatest difficulty. And where is he now? If we read in Revelation 5 and verse 6 on the next slide, I believe, really good having that there because you can see what you're doing. And John writes, he says, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain." This is great. "Standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders." So where is this lamb, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, Jesus, looking as if he's been slain, but he's standing? Do you feel you've been slain? Do you feel things haven't gone your way? Are you hoping for a better outcome in the future? Tell you what, I can't think of a better outcome than somebody who's committed their life to Jesus Christ, who is alive, for him to lead you and guide you through difficulties, through challenges, through hardships, but ultimately he'll bring you through. And then another passage, which is the next slide, Revelation 5:5, the one before it, funnily enough, says, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.'" So here we've got a picture of the lion, a picture of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Both. He's standing at the center. In the second, he is able to open. What do you need to be opened in your life? Let me just ask you that again. What do you need to be opened up in your life? Let me ask you this question. Is there an opening for your problem? Is there a way through? I want to say that all things are possible with the resurrected Christ. Even if it's not the opening that you thought it might be, I want to tell you this. There is a way. There is a route. There is an opening. There is a way through to a better day, a brighter day. And it doesn't lie in trusting deceptions, things that are false hopes, things that end up in nothing and a con. But they're things that, the one thing that we put our trust in, the eternal Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who has triumphed. He is able. Because he is standing at the center of all things. The center of all things is your trust in him today. And the last thing, last slide. Because of all this, because he has triumphed, we have great peace. You can have, if you haven't got it now, great confidence. I wonder if the worship team could come back up. That would be really good. You and I can have expectation of good things ahead. In fact, the best is yet to come. And what I'd just love to do now is, before we just sing a last song, is pray. I'd just like to pray for you and for us in this room. Why is the resurrection important? Well, you know what? I tell you what, truth matters. Truth matters. I want to tell you the truth. Christ is risen from the dead. And he lives in the power of an indestructible life. Christianity is about encountering this risen Christ. Have you encountered him yet? Let me tell you this. If you're not sure, you probably haven't. Because you can't miss it. But it demands a decision of the will. And if you're going to decide, don't be half-hearted, get in there fully. If it's true, it demands my all. It demands your all. He's solved the biggest problem that mankind could ever face, the problem of life and death. Therefore, Jesus enables us to overcome the problems, the difficulties of life as they come our way, one way or another. Question is, what about you? What about me? So I would just love to pray for you. I don't know if you feel a great confidence in God today because you put your trust in him and you've tested and tried him like Karis did and found it real. Maybe it's not real. So I would like to pray for you, first of all, that it would become real, if that's what you want. That's what you want. So Heavenly Father, I just pray for my friends here, Lord, and any visitors. And Lord, I just pray. I just thank you that you are alive. And Lord, you're here with us today by your Spirit. And I just pray for anyone who hasn't got to know you yet, hasn't discovered you, that you haven't come into their life yet, but they want you to. And I just pray for them now that you will open that door, that you will give them the ability to open the door to let you in. Give them faith in you. I also pray, Lord, for any people here who are kind of half-hearted in this, you know. Well, I've gone so far, but I don't want to commit myself fully because I'm scared of being let down. Scared of it being a fake. I've seen people being let down before in different things. Well, you don't need to worry, because God will never let you down. So, Lord, I just pray for any who are not fully committed to you. Pray that you again give faith to trust you fully. So Lord, I commit these things to you. Thank you so much again for the joy and the peace that you give us as we follow you and trust in you. Praise your wonderful name, O God.